If any of us, it's probably not going to be me, but if any of you called a local caterer, and we have them, I was thinking on the front pew of a number of caterers in our area. If you called them and said, I need fish and bread for 20,000 people, they would say, what's your budget? And then their next question would be, how soon are you going to need this? What kind of timeline are we looking at? And if you were catering this meal that Jesus served, you would have to say, I don't know, 30 minutes. I need more than enough fish and bread and none of the cheap stuff to feed 20,000 people in in about 30 minutes. You would hear a, nah, right? They would say, sir, that is impossible. That is impossible. That is not possible. Sir, that would have to be a miracle. And yet, it was no problem for Jesus. It was absolutely no problem for Jesus. Now, I mentioned to some of our leadership that I was going to be preaching on this, and one of the leaders said, oh, I love this story. This is my favorite story. And I love it when I hear that, while I'm preparing. It's good to know that it's somebody's favorite story. It's one of my favorite stories. I remember as a kid in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and in church, I loved this story, this very true story. And through this story, we learn some wonderful things about our God, some wonderful things about Jesus. And we learn some great things about ministry too. And so this morning I want to share with you about how Jesus fed 5,000 plus spiritually hungry people. You might say, I think you messed up on your title there. I mean, they were physically hungry, weren't they, Pastor? Well, let's just see what the text says. Our passage this morning comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. The scripture begins like this. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. This is from last week. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is late. Send them away into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were about 5,000 men. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this miracle. We thank you for what you have revealed to us about you and about your power and your sufficiency. Thank you for what it has taught us about how you can multiply resources for ministry. Thank you for showing us that Jesus cares about our spiritual needs as well as our physical needs. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have several things I want you to see in the passage this morning. The first thing I want you to see is that even though Jesus was tired, remember, they had gone out in a boat to get away from the crowd. They had just gotten back. The disciples had just gotten back from the mission trip, and they were giving the mission trip report. They were wearing Jesus out with, there was that guy that had a demon, and we cast it out of him, and there was that person who's been paralytic all their lives, and that person got up and walked, and all those different ministries that they did. They healed. Oh, and they preached. Hey, we said to repent and that the kingdom of God was at hand. And people started repenting. They started turning from their sin and worshiping God. They were wearing Jesus out for sure, telling him all the exciting things. Last week I compared it to taking junior high kids to Six Flags and then asking them, so what did you do all day? Did you have fun? Can you imagine the disciples' excitement of being involved in ministry and healing and preaching and casting out demons? They had to be beside themselves with excitement. But we also know that they were exhausted. And when Jesus could get a word in edgewise, he said, hey, you guys need to rest. Let's go away for a bit. Let's get in the boat and let's get away for a while and rest. But the people saw that where Jesus was going in the boat, and they ran around the shoreline to get where Jesus was going. And so when they landed at the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there were people there already needing help, needing ministry, wanting to hear Jesus' preaching and teaching, wanting to have healing, and wanting to, perhaps some wanted to or needed to be exorcised of demons. And I shared with you last week that our Savior, even though he and the disciples were tired, he was moved by their spiritual needs. He could have said, sorry, we're closed. It's after hours. You know, call us at 8, 9, you know, turned on a message, a phone message system. But Jesus cared for them. And I want you to see that he cared for their spiritual needs. It says he had compassion on them. This means he was moved in his intestines. He was not just a little concerned, but his whole internal guts were moved by what they saw, but what he saw. And he said, they look like sheep without a shepherd. And you know that sheep without a shepherd are in trouble, right? They're vulnerable. They are easily lost. And Jesus saw them that way. And I want you to see what he did. Now, this is the story, the very true story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. But I want you to see what he did first. He began to teach them. He began to teach them. He saw their spiritual needs, and what was most important to Jesus was meeting their spiritual needs. And so he taught them, it says, many things. He began to teach them many things. He didn't come over and open up the food boat. I was telling Amy, our friend here, Lisa's friend, longtime friend. Amy's been our friend forever. If you want to know anything about us, ask Amy. This Amy. That Amy's still new to us, but we're working on her. But I was telling Amy that there's a boat. If you're out on Eagle Mountain Lake, there is a phone number you can call, and there is a boat that will bring you food. On Eagle Mountain Lake, it's called the food boat. Yeah. Jesus could have opened the food boat, but what he saw was not, what he was primarily concerned with was not their stomachs, but their souls. Now, I want to remind you, or tell you for the first time, however it works for you, that your spiritual needs are more important than your physical needs. Your spiritual needs are eternal. They're forever. Your relationship with God is most important. Your destiny, heaven or hell, that is most important. But you know what happens? Most of us spend all of our time focused on the physical parts of our lives, and we neglect the spiritual parts of our lives. But not Jesus. Jesus knows better, right? And he, when he looked at the people, he didn't say, "Those people are hangry, we better feed them," right off the bat. When he looked and they were sheep without a shepherd, when he had compassion on them, he was looking at their souls. He was looking at their relationships with God. He was most concerned with their spiritual condition. When he went across, he didn't open up a catering service, a food truck, or even a food boat. He began to teach them spiritual truth because that was their greatest need. And I want you to know this morning that spiritual truth is our greatest need. Now, right now, some of you are already thinking, my greatest need is lunch. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, we were late to lunch because the preacher went long. But let me tell you something. By the way, Ed started teaching Sunday school. He used to tease me about how long the sermons were. I think it was all in jest, but you never really know. He's teaching Sunday school, and he told me this morning, he admitted that he's having a hard time finishing his Sunday school lesson. And I was like, I'll pray for you. But let me say again, your spiritual needs are most important. Your physical needs will come and go, right? You'll eat lunch, and on the way home, you'll be thinking about supper. And when supper's over, you're going to be thinking about the fourth meal. You know, Taco Bell has the fourth meal, right? Or the fifth meal for some. But your hunger, your discomfort will come and go. It won't last. But your spirit will last. Your soul will last for all eternity. But what most people get wrong is they spend all their time on physical things and they completely neglect what's most important, which is spiritual things. But not Jesus. Jesus spoke to their greatest need, your greatest need, my greatest need, and that is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so he rightly addressed their greatest need. He taught them spiritual truth. Now I want you to see something else though. Verse 35 says, "When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'Dairy Queen is now closed.'" He said, it's a desolate place. This is a small town. All the restaurants closed at 7. The hour is now late. The disciples tell Jesus very practically, "Send them away into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy them so that they can buy themselves something to eat." Makes sense, right? Makes sense. There's 5,000 at least men. These guys got to be hungry. There's no place for them to go. They don't have any food. They're probably getting hangry or grumpy, hungry. These are the same people that just came back from a mission trip where they saw God cast out demons, heal people, and they saw people repent and believe. But they're already thinking about physical things and not spiritual things. Does that ever happen to us? I mean, God does something great, and then we start having doubts the next day. Come on. So he said, send them out to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Now, don't you know every time Jesus says something like that, they're like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. You give them something to eat. And they brought up the very thing I brought up in my introduction. Listen to this. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? What are we going to do, Jesus? Are we going to go find a place where we can get enough bread to feed all these people tonight? Should we spend 200 denarii to do that? And this is very practical, but don't ridicule Jesus. Don't doubt Jesus, you know? It's like, well, what should we do? Go get bread for all these people at this late hour? Don't do that. Have some respect. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Now, the Gospel of John tells us something that's not in the Gospel of Mark. And that is that there was one kid who had 5 loaves of bread of some size and 2 fish. Okay? Somebody's mama packed him a lunch. Didn't they? Didn't she? Yeah. And I guess he was playing so hard he forgot to eat. And don't you know that fish was smelling good? I've got a picture up there. I sent it to Lisa and said, would you use this as the background? She said, yes. She goes, that is the worst looking fish I've ever seen. I don't know if you can see it very well, but it probably looked worse than that by the time that kid had drug it around all day long. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. 5 and 2 fish. This was a kid's lunch. That's all they had. And so Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by 50s. And then Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven, which is how they prayed. And he said a blessing on the food. I want you to know that while Jesus was primarily concerned about people's spiritual needs, he also cared for the people's physical needs. Did I say that right? While Jesus was primarily concerned about their spiritual needs, he also cared about their physical needs. We all have physical needs. You know, it may be food, but it may be help, it may be other things. But Jesus showed us God's concern for our physical needs. God is our provider, isn't he? And the Bible tells us he loves to give good gifts to his children. We are all blessed, aren't we? Anybody not blessed? We are all blessed. And we've all had times when God has very miraculously provided for our physical needs. We see throughout Scripture that Jesus stopped and healed the woman who had the issue of blood for years. The man that was lowered through the ceiling of a house that couldn't walk, Jesus stopped his discourse and he healed the man, did he not? Throughout the Scripture, throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus stopping and taking the time to meet physical needs. Jesus does care about our physical needs. He cares about your physical needs, but he cares the most about your spiritual needs. And I want to ask you, how much time have you spent on your soul, on your physical, I mean your spiritual health and life? Are you growing and maturing in Christ? Are you more mature and have greater faith today than you did 6 months ago? We would all do better to make sure that we have commitment to our spiritual needs as much as our physical needs. Spiritual needs are most important, but most neglected. Now, Jesus showed some great things about, well, I want to finish the story. So he sat him down by hundreds and fifties. He looked up to heaven and he said a blessing and he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. I would love to see how this looked. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. So this, he must have created fish and loaves out of nothing, right? He didn't have a bunch of fish in his back pocket. He didn't have extra bread in the back. Somehow, as he divided those things up, they just multiplied. And as they were given out, they replenished themselves. He created something out of nothing. Well, God does that, right? That's how he created the world. He created the world out of nothing. And he fed them out of nothing. He had 2 loaves and 2 fishes. And yet he multiplied them. He multiplied them. And so much so that as they passed them out, they never ran out. They never said, hey, this basket's getting empty. Pour yours and mine. Hey, these fish, we're running out. Do you have some in your basket? There was plenty. And so I want you to see that that God provided in a most miraculous way. Now it says 5,000 men. Now doing a little math and some ratios, it says 5,000 men, but the total number of people involved in this miracle is likely 10 to 20,000 people. If you add in what they consider the ratio of men and women, if there was a fairly constant ratio of men and women based on their the way their culture and society was made up, how many kids they had, how many women and men, what are the ratios, men, women, and children, They estimate that somewhere between 10 and 20,000 people were fed. So we always say, he fed 5,000. It's a miracle. And it is. But it's actually double or triple or quadruple that. Even if you call a caterer here in town and say, I need fish and loaves for 5,000. Oh, we can't do that. Even 5,000 would be too difficult. 20,000 people. And look what it says. They all ate and were satisfied. They weren't looking for dessert. They were so full of fish and bread, they weren't looking for dessert. They were full. And then it says they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. they didn't just let it fall on the ground. They went back and they picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. They were satisfied. I want to remind you that Jesus taught his disciples a valuable lesson, and it's a valuable lesson for you and me today. That is that God can do much with little resources. Right? Right? Sometimes we say, we don't have enough. But let me remind you that God has cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. My mom and my grandmother, and I think Rod says the same thing. How about that, Rod? God's got cattle on 1,000 hills, and every once in a while, you just might have to sell one. He has the resources, right? He has what is needed. And I want to encourage you, church, those disciples learned a valuable lesson. What God is doing is not dependent on what we have. When God works, He provides what is needed. If God is in it, He'll resource it. He'll provide it, right? And He has unlimited resources. It may look like 2 stinky fish and 5 little loaves, a little boy's lunch, a Lunchable. It's an early Lunchable. Not popular today. If they had a 2 sardine and 5 loaf Lunchable, nobody would buy it. But it's what they had back then. The disciples looked at what they didn't have. Jesus reminded them of who they did have. And folks, we fall into this sometimes. We think, well, we don't have enough to do this or that in ministry. And God, Jesus, reminded us that much can be done with little if God wills it. I also want to just a little saying that I thought of this week. I'm sure I didn't make it up. But remember that God multiplies and God adds. Sometimes He subtracts, but He does not divide. God multiplies, God adds, sometimes He subtracts, but He doesn't divide. And so, church, I want you to remind me in members meeting, in business meeting, when we're looking at budgets, I want you to remind Glenn Wade. I want to remind you that even when we look and say, we don't have enough, that we remember that we have a God who has enough. Much can be done with little. I imagine if we knew what great things our North American Mission Board, International Mission Board, Southern Baptist of Texas, if we knew the great things they do with our offerings, we'd be amazed. It's got to be miraculous how God multiplies the offerings that we share. This is not a stewardship sermon, but I just know that God multiplies what we give. And greater things are done than could be explained on paper. He taught them a very valuable lesson. When you are serving God, much can be done with little if God wills it. Last thing I wanted to say to you is I want to kind of teach you a word. And the word is sufficient. Okay, sufficient. What does sufficient mean? It means it's enough, right? It's sufficient. And I want to tell you that my seminary education is not going to waste here. But something else that Jesus did here is that He showed us that God's works are always sufficient. Whatever God does, He does it well. He doesn't do things halfway. I don't even know if I can say that word anymore because of cultural insensitivities nowadays. But I'm just in my head for a minute. Pardon me. No, it's not worth it. I'm choosing my words wisely. Anyway, God when he does something, he does it good and right. He doesn't do things halfway. He doesn't under budget. God does not under deliver. When God does something, it's good and it's perfect. And there's nothing about it that is lacking. I want you to see that in the text, he fed 20,000 people, let's say. He fed 20,000 people. There weren't 1,000 that went hungry because Jesus didn't make enough bread and fish. Right? We've been to those potlucks where everybody brings cream corn and nobody brings roast or turkey or banana pudding. One time, Lisa and I were at another church serving, and the habit of that church was pastors' families always went last. We did a potluck at Thanksgiving, I think it was, one year. And when it got to the staff going through the line, there was absolutely nothing left. And so the staff went to Jack in the Box because it was the only place open the day before Thanksgiving in Coppers Cove, Texas. It's because we ran out. We ran short. We ran out of what was needed. But I want to point out to you here that Jesus bought enough food. He had enough. He provided enough food. He did not come short in any way. And I don't see any complaints about the food. Do you? And the Bible would tell us, the Bible's really honest, you know. The Bible would have said, hey, this doesn't taste like the regular fish we get. You know, this was, you know, it filled our stomachs, but it was kind of blah. Or the bread was really stale. It must have been in storage a long time. It doesn't say that. It said they all ate and were satisfied, and there were leftovers. And I just want to show you how that shows us that everything that God does is right and good and more than enough. And it's not just about fish and loaves. It is everything that God does. Everything that God has promised, He will fulfill it, and it will be exactly what He has promised, and it will be good. Here's a great illustration, and I'll close. Some of you are already thinking about the food. You'll be glad about sufficiency of Christ here. When Jesus died on the cross and He rose again, His sacrifice was enough that all who come to God will be saved. Everybody. When He died on the cross, it wasn't like, okay, the first 100 get, the first 1,000 get, or I'm sorry, we've run out of grace. We've ran out of mercy. The rest of you are going to have to spend eternity in hell because God's grace has run out. Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was more than enough. It is more than enough for you. It is more than enough for everybody in this room. And it's more than enough for everybody in the world that will come to Him. When you get to heaven and you stand before Jesus, He's not going to say, oh, you got the cheap seats. I mean, you're going to be in here, but, you know, Jesus' sacrifice was just, it was starting to run out when you got it. He's going to say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And I also want to say to you that not only is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, not only was it enough for your salvation, but it is enough for your sanctification. Your continued growth and maturity. God will fulfill His desires in you. God is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. Now, sufficient sounds to us like it's just barely enough. But with God, sufficient means more than enough. And when Jesus catered a meal for 20,000 of His best friends, He fed them the best fish available, the best loaves available. They did not run out, and they had food left over because that's how God works. He doesn't do half healings. He doesn't do half savings. He doesn't do half deliverings. He does it all. Thanks be to God. Now, I do things halfway. I fall short. I get ahead of myself. Yesterday, I did an oil change on my car. I thought I could do it really quickly, and it took me a couple of hours. I am not sufficient for that need. Listen, friend, our God is sufficient for every need. In fact, I meant to say Philippians 4:19 quickly. Philippians 4:19, if you can get it on the screen. Look at this. Why don't you read it out loud with me as we close? And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.